This brings us to the next LOS, which is to define, calculate, and interpret Macaulay modified and effective durations. Duration is used as a measure of a bond's interest rate risk or sensitivity of a bond's full price to a change in its yield. The measure was first introduced by Frederick Macaulay, and his formulation is referred to as Macaulay duration. A bond's annual Macaulay duration is calculated as the weighted average of the number of years until each of the bond's promised cash flows is to be paid, where the weights are the present values of each cash flow as a percentage of the bond's full value. The Macaulay duration of a semi-annual pay bond can be calculated in the same way, as a weighted average of the number of semi-annual periods until the cash flows are to be received. In this case, the result is the number of semi-annual periods rather than years. Because of the improved measures of interest rate risk that we will describe in a moment, we say that Macaulay duration is the weighted average time to the receipt of principal and interest payments, rather than our best estimate of interest rate sensitivity. Between coupon dates, the Macaulay duration of a coupon bond decreases with the passage of time, and then goes back up significantly at each coupon payment date. Modified duration is calculated as Macaulay duration divided by the quantity 1 plus the bond's yield to maturity. Modified duration provides an approximate percentage change in a bond's price for a 1% change in yield to maturity. The price change for a given change in yield to maturity can be calculated as negative modified duration times the change in YTM. For a semi-annual pay bond with a YTM quoted on a semi-annual bond basis, semi-annual modified duration equals semi-annual Macaulay duration divided by the quantity 1 plus YTM divided by 2. This modified duration can be annualized by dividing by 2 and then used as the approximate change in price for a 1% change in a bond's YTM. We can approximate modified duration directly using bond values for an increase in YTM and for a decrease in YTM of the same size. The calculation of approximate modified duration is based on a given change in YTM. In the following formula, V minus is the price of the bond if YTM is decreased by the change in YTM, and V plus is the price of the bond if the YTM is increased by the change in YTM. Approximate modified duration is the quantity V minus minus V plus divided by the quantity 2 times the current bond price times the change in YTM. The formula uses the average of the magnitudes of the price increase and the price decrease, which is why V minus minus V plus in the numerator is divided by 2 in the denominator. The current price of the bond is in the denominator to convert this average price change to a percentage, and the change in YTM term is in the denominator to scale the duration measure to a 1% change in yield by convention. The change in YTM must be entered as a decimal rather than in a whole percentage to properly scale the duration estimate. Note that V minus is greater than V plus, and that because of the convexity of the price-yield relationship, the price increase to V minus is larger than the price decrease to V plus. Modified duration is a linear estimate of the relation between a bond's price and YTM, whereas the actual relation is convex, not linear. This means that the modified duration measure provides good estimates of bond prices for small changes in yield, but increasingly poor estimates for larger changes in yield as the effect of the curvature of the price-to-yield curve is more pronounced. So far, all of our duration measures have been calculated using the YTM and prices of option-free bonds. This is straightforward because both the future cash flows and their timing are known with certainty. This is not the case with bonds that have embedded options, such as a callable bond or a mortgage-backed bond. We say mortgage-backed bonds have a prepayment option, which is similar to a call option on a corporate bond. The borrowers, people who take out mortgages, typically have the option to pay off the principal value of their loans, in whole or in part, at any time. These prepayments accelerate when interest rates fall significantly, because borrowers can refinance their home loans at a lower rate and pay off the remaining principal owed on an existing loan. Thus, the pricing of bonds with embedded put, call, or prepayment options begins with the benchmark yield curve, not simply the current YTM of the bond. The appropriate measure of interest rate sensitivity for these bonds is effective duration. The calculation of effective duration is the same as the calculation of approximate modified duration, with the change in YTM replaced by the change in the benchmark yield curve used with a bond pricing model to generate V- and V+. Another difference between calculating effective duration and the methods we have discussed so far is that the effects of changes in benchmark yields and changes in the yield spread for credit and liquidity risk are separated. Modified duration makes no distinction between changes in the benchmark yield and changes in the spread. Effective duration reflects only the sensitivity of the bond's value to changes in the benchmark yield curve. Changes in the credit spread are sometimes addressed with a separate credit duration measure. Finally, note that unlike modified duration, effective duration does not necessarily provide better estimates of bond prices for smaller changes in yield. It may be the case that larger changes in yield produce more predictable prepayments or calls than small changes. The next LOS asks us to explain why effective duration is the most appropriate measure of interest rate risk for bonds with embedded options. For bonds with embedded options, the future cash flows depend not only on future interest rates, but also on the path that interest rates take over time. For example, did they fall to a new level or rise to that level? We must use effective duration to estimate the interest rate risk of these bonds. The effective duration measure must also be based on bond prices from a pricing model. The fact that bonds with embedded options have uncertain future cash flows means that our present value calculations for bond value based on YTM cannot be used. For the next LOS, we are required to define key rate duration and describe the use of key rate durations in measuring the sensitivity of bonds to changes in the shape of the benchmark yield curve. Recall that duration is an adequate measure of bond price risk only for parallel shifts in the yield curve. The impact of non-parallel shifts can be measured using a concept known as key rate duration. A key rate duration, also known as a partial duration, is defined as the sensitivity of the value of a bond or portfolio to changes in the spot rate for a specific maturity, holding other spot rates constant. A bond or portfolio will have a key rate duration for each maturity range on the spot rate curve. Key rate duration is particularly useful for measuring the effect of a non-parallel shift in the yield curve on a bond portfolio. We can use the key rate duration for each maturity to compute the effect on the portfolio of the interest rate change at that maturity. The effect on the overall portfolio is the sum of these individual effects. Next, we are asked to explain how a bond's maturity, coupon, and yield level affect its interest rate risk. Other things equal, an increase in a bond's maturity will usually increase its interest rate risk. The present values of payments made further in the future are more sensitive to changes in the discount rate used to calculate present value than are the present values of payments made sooner. We must say usually, because there are instances where an increase in a discount coupon bond's maturity will decrease its Macaulay duration. For a discount bond, duration first increases with longer maturity and then decreases over a range of relatively long maturities until it approaches the duration of a perpetuity, which is the quantity 1 plus YTM divided by YTM. Other things equal, an increase in the coupon rate of a bond will decrease its interest rate risk. For a given maturity and YTM, the duration of a zero coupon bond will be greater than that of a coupon bond. Increasing the coupon rate means more of a bond's value will be from payments received sooner, so that the value of the bond will be less sensitive to changes in yield. Other things equal, an increase in a bond's YTM will decrease its interest rate risk, and a decrease in its YTM will increase its interest rate risk. To understand this, we can look to the convexity of the price-to-yield curve and use its slope as our proxy for interest rate risk. At lower yields, the price-to-yield curve has a steeper slope, indicating that price is more sensitive to a given change in yield. Adding either a put or a call provision will decrease a straight bond's interest rate risk as measured by effective duration. With a call provision, the value of the call increases as yields fall, so a decrease in yield will have less effect on the price of the bond, which is the price of a straight bond minus the value of the call option held by the issuer. With a put option, the bondholder's option to sell the bond back to the issuer at a set price reduces the negative impact of yield increases on price.